Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I'm joined by Pete Zayas. Pete, the Los Angeles Lakers are up 2-1 in a second-round series as the Milwaukee Bucks and all of their regular season hardware are going on home. God, that feels good.
This was an amazing day, and it was that was such a joyful second half, especially. Mm-hmm. It was a masterpiece by LeBron. It was a masterpiece by Rondo. And it was, above all else, a masterpiece on defense in the second half. That was us at our very best when we're locked in and we're flying all over the place. And we're that conquering horde, right? That just our rotations, our closeouts. Right? Like, to me, defense, this sounds like such a, like, oh, I love basketball and I am very smart type thing, right? Like, but like, defense is what makes basketball fun. Like, if you watch the All-Star game, mm-hmm. it's not as entertaining, right, when the guys aren't like really trying. But that we just saw, and it's not just like because I root for the Lakers, right? When so for example, the Clippers turned it up,
though that they've got
a level defensively, for sure. But the Clippers did that to Denver in the night before, right? Where they just turn the screws on them defensively. And it's like, yeah, that's really nice basketball. But we've got like a different gear and a different version of that. And the Rockets present a different problem. But that was just, when we play defense like that, man, we're the best defensive team in the league. And it's impossible to do that for 48 minutes per game. But knowing that you got that fastball in your back pocket whenever you really need to use it, because like, this is a critical game. It's game three, right? It's it's a big deal. Houston, to win this series, Houston has to beat us 3 out of 4 times.
Yeah,
right? That's a tall order. And so that us being able to turn up the intensity on defense like that, like, man, just thing of beauty.
Yeah, I thought there were a few things that really felt of note to me, but to me, what I took away from this more than anything was that, like, LeBron has that special offensive half, right? Where he scored, 29 points in the first half. And that was really cool to watch. And that was just incredible to see some of the shots that he was hitting. But to me, what actually felt more impactful were those plays where he was like rotating over and blocking the shit out of the ball. And because like, you and I have talked since LeBron got to LA about how the Lakers are going to follow the tone that he sets. Right. Mm-hmm. And I thought like he was so great offensively that everybody just saw that and was like, oh, okay, we can all kind of lighten up on offense. But then when he and everybody else really started going after on defense, and like, I very rarely tweet out things that sound smart after the fact. But one of the things I said at halftime was that it's the defense. There's a direct correlation between how good the Lakers look defensively and how great they look overall. And we saw that in the third quarter, they give up 18 points. Fourth quarter, they give up 20 points. And and like when they can defend like that and they can get out and run, the game just looks a lot easier for them.
It is, right? Like, we're the best transition team in the NBA, right? Mm-hmm. And that is going to come from those block shots. You're absolutely right. LeBron was a catalyst. He was very irritated with his teammates in the second quarter in particular on the defensive end. Lots of, you know, there were a few plays where like James Harden or Jeff Green, like somebody's got like a wide open lane to the basket where that's nobody doing their job. And and that, you know, LeBron in the post-game interview talked about how they watched some tape, they had discussions, right? And they decided, and then I love the adjustment to go small by Vogel. They, you know, JaVale only played 7 minutes in this game. He didn't play at all in the second half, no Dwight Howard in the second half. And like, us going small, those 1 and 0 big lineups, our advantage against them is our speed and our height, right? And so like, JaVale and Dwight are not fast. They cannot rotate defensively the way that you saw in that second half. And even like Markieff Morris is no speed demon himself, but the difference between him and those guys in terms of closeouts is significant, and ability to move their feet laterally. So I just love that, seeing the Lakers go small, because that has always been the path to beating this Houston team, in my opinion.
Yeah, you're talking fractions of a second, but those fractions of a second matter, you know. Getting to a shooter a step or two earlier compared to a JaVale or a Dwight, and how quickly they get out there, is a huge difference, because that's the difference between, you know, hoping to contest the shot and maybe even running him off the 3-point line. And that to me was where I thought the Lakers were at their absolute strongest, was that they knew, they understood who they had to run off the line and then did whatever they could to run them off the line. You saw, I got to pull up their stats here, but Eric Gordon goes 2 of 9 from the field, 2 of 6 from 3-point range. He never looked comfortable, especially in the second half. Robert Covington only attempted 4 3-pointers. The Rockets as a team only made, I believe, 1 more 3-pointer than the Lakers did tonight. Yeah, so two more. They went 12 of 30. The Lakers,
we take that every time, right?
That's the math. That's the math right there that, that we always talk about, is that like if the Lakers are going to win this, that math isn't so far skewed in Houston's favor. And I thought early on in the game, like in the first quarter or so, I thought the Lakers were kind of playing with fire, just kind of going shot for shot. And in the Lakers' case, the shots that they were making looked a lot more difficult than the shots that Houston was making. But in that second half, the type of shots that the Lakers were taking were endlessly easier than the shots that Houston were forced into taking. And at the end of the day, like what Houston's entire identity is creating, and like basically all offensive identities, but I feel like especially Houston, it's how quickly can we get to a nice, easy shot that fits into the rhythm of whatever player it is that's going to be taking that shot. And I just thought at no point in that second half did anybody on Houston look like they were in any kind of a comfortable rhythm.
Well, they couldn't. Like, that's, this is why going small is, has, is like the route.
Yeah.
And
we're saying small, but like AD is out there.
Well, but that's the thing, right? Yeah. And so is LeBron. And so is Kyle Kuzma.
Right. And even Markieff is big.
Even Markieff is a big dude, right? And so that's the thing, is we can be bigger at going smaller than they are and not change the fundamental character of our team. But we can take away by putting that extra speed out there. We're not going to play defense like that for 48 minutes. Yeah. But when it comes time to, we can take away everything that Houston does. Mm-hmm. What Houston needs is somebody who can be in the mid post and score. Like if we advance past Houston and Clippers get past like Kawhi, right? He's a different type of beast. That it's a different defensive challenge, right? But we can, you know, close out to the guy with the ball. He drives into the lane. Someone rotates over. They kick it out, and then they're swinging it until they get an open shot and attacking closeouts and all of that. But we can do that. We can play that game with them. And the reason they're not in a rhythm is because we're not letting them get the shots they want to get.
Yeah.
And that was the whole second half. It was just a work of art.
Yep. Let's take a quick second here, because there are a bunch of people who deserve some praise, starting with my boy. And I swear to God, I'm being serious. I pinned the tweet to my Twitter profile. If the Lakers win a championship, I'm buying a Rajon Rondo Lakers jersey and hanging that up in my office. So that's actually happening. But I want to continue to talk about what it is that's making him successful, and how sustainable that is. And tonight felt somewhat more sustainable because we saw bad Rondo and we saw him switch out of it. So let's take a quick second and talk about that. Today's show is brought to you in part by DoorDash. DoorDash has partnered with the entire NBA and us to continue to bring you guys food during these just really weird times. You have Rajon Rondo proving the playoff Rondo is a real thing. You have Magic Johnson tweeting out, calling for Mike Budenholzer's head, basically. And here we are, still in 2020. Hopefully on our way to a Lakers championship. But, you know, the best way to celebrate that Lakers championship is with a whole bunch of comfort food, kind of stuff that just makes you feel warm inside so that you, you know, and you can do that tomorrow. Treat yourself tomorrow and do so through DoorDash by downloading the DoorDash app. And right now our listeners can get $5 off and pay zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more, but only when you download the DoorDash app and enter promo code LOCKEDONNBA. One more time, that is $5 off your first order and zero delivery fees when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter promo code LOCKEDONNBA. Don't forget, that's promo code LOCKEDONNBA for $5 off your first order with DoorDash. All right, so we walked away from game two saying, wow, playoff Rondo might actually be a thing, that this might actually be kind of, and like, even when I was saying that, some of it was kind of tongue-in-cheek because I didn't necessarily believe it. Mm-hmm. I want to go in a different direction than I was going to go there. And we'll probably eventually make that point anyway. But we just watched Milwaukee get run out of the playoffs, right? Gentlemen mm-hmm. sweep, and they run out of there. And it's, you know, at no point did they look like the better team in that series. No. And even in the first round series, they seemed to struggle with a team as bad as Orlando. And one of the things that we talked about was how smart teams develop other options, other pitches over the course of the regular season, so that once you get to the postseason and that, you know, the hitters are sitting fastball, you can now get ready and be able to throw a secondary pitch. And I don't want to go too far out on this end of the spectrum, but what if, and I might have some tinfoil on my head here, what if the Lakers kind of dealt with what they had to deal with Rondo, knowing that the best version of them is going to have him play some kind of a role. And here we are seeing, even as frustrating as the regular season was and will continue to be, and will probably be next year too. Mm-hmm. But they probably incurred a couple L's over the course of the regular season to try to get Rondo ready, and then now are benefiting from a Rondo who is more ready to play, given that they need that kind of a player.
Yeah, no, for sure. His level of engagement and focus, and, you know, just the amount of force that he's playing with, the speed and all of that. It's funny, this is the first playoffs that you and I have covered, right? Obviously, mm-hmm. we watch the playoffs every year, but it's different when it's literally your team and you know them and their tendencies, every player. And I've, the more and more I've watched, and I think this very solidly with Rondo, is like, the regular season, when you're a really good team, is kind of an 82 game preseason, mm-hmm. right? Like, and because nothing of like that notable is going to happen aside from injury, right? And mm-hmm. and if you're a, you know, we saw this with the Lakers during the Shaq Kobe years, right? There was a couple times we were 2 seed or a 3 seed and of those title teams. And mm-hmm. that's, and so with a guy like Rondo, who's had some injury issues too, right? He's 33 or maybe turned 34. Mm-hmm. How much, like how often can he go to this player? How often can he access it? There's an argument to be made. What's the point of accessing yeah. it in the regular season, right? And I also think that part of this, I think Houston's a particularly good matchup for him because yeah. they're not big. I'm mm-hmm. concerned about him against big teams and their vulnerable transition.
So long as they have Westbrook out there, Rondo can play Rondo defense.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely.
But I think what it kind of comes down to, And again, I say this as somebody who is probably going to be pulling out his hair over the course of next season too, when Rondo is maybe playing more than I would like him to then as well. I think, you know, when you look at some of these things, you have to look at them in the context of the entirety of an NBA season for a team with title aspirations. And I think, like, yes, I still think Alex Caruso is a better player and is a better fit next to LeBron James. But he very clearly isn't quite ready for this moment. And I don't think there was going to be a situation where he would be full. Offensively, he looks pretty.
Yeah, he's not ready to be like a point guard in this yeah. moment, right? Like a ball handler in this moment.
Yeah.
But he's playing well. He's defending. He's
I like his defense.
Yeah, like you want him out on the court, but he's not ready to do what Rondo's doing. Like in yeah. terms of just the job description, it's a different job.
And even like picking up Deion Waiters off the scrap heap, you can't rely on that guy. Like, given the roster that the Lakers had, and now, you know, would I prefer that they improve the roster at that spot next year? Abso-effing-lutely. Like, yes. But given the roster that the Lakers have, there seems to have been value in playing Rondo in those minutes and maybe extending those minutes, even though it might cost you a loss here and there or cost you a win here and there over the course of the season. Mm-hmm. What you're getting from him now and the value that comes with having somebody that is just about this, you know, like it's just I don't know if there's a stat, an official stat on 2K, right? Where's it out about the Sidness is what you're looking for.
Get a little tag. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Like a badge. give Rondo very clearly has seemed ready to kind of rise to this. Now, we also got to talk about the first half. I thought he kind of fell into some bad habits that made him bad, Rondo.
Oh, he had a rough stretch for most of that game and then was awesome in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, what I really want to hit on really quickly before we throw to the third segment is, like, we really have to note what it is that makes him successful here. Like, I thought Darius made a good point that, like, we think of Rondo's activity on the defensive end, right? Just kind of mucking up the play and hopping into passing lanes that the opposing team doesn't really think he's going to hop into.
Right.
Or offensively, we think of him as active with the basketball and trying to penetrate and get into the cracks of the defense and kick the ball out. But I thought one of the things that, and Darius noticed this too, one of the things that I thought was lacking across the entire team, but especially Rondo, because this is one of the things he's supposed to provide, is cutting and just moving the defense off of the ball. Because him standing on the perimeter, you aren't going to move the defense. Like, the defense isn't going to move for you.
The last, 4 minutes of the third quarter were killing me on offense. Everything was a shot clock violation or a desperation shot to not get a shot clock violation. Mm-hmm. And part of that was the stagnance of those actions.
Yeah, I just think if the Lakers or if Rondo is going to continue to be productive, and I mean, being this good, I don't know, is necessarily sustainable, right? What he shoots, 7 of 8 from the field, he was 8 of 11 from the field, 3 of 5 from 3-point range, 2 of 2 from the from the free throw line. Is that sustainable? Probably not. But like the activity stuff, the engagement stuff, that stuff feels sustainable in the stretch that, or the sprint that these playoffs can be.
Sure. Yeah. And I think, again, I think Houston's a good matchup for him. They're a team that, their contests around the rim. Like, one thing with Rondo is that size and length can bother him around. Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of those finishes, he went 3 for 5 from three. And that's one thing, is like, he's gotten better over the last couple of years at the wide open, nobody's guarding you type of threes. And he's getting a lot of those with how Houston's defending them. But when he drives to the basket, his finishing has been very poor. And in part because he has to alter his angles. There's nobody really on Houston that can bother him in a way where he has to put a little more arc on the shot, on the layup, or shoot it a little bit more of an angle so they don't block it, and so his takes to the basket, especially with how spread out we were with those smaller lineups, again, we need to get to the basket against them, and spreading out our offense helps us, our ball handlers get there, and then defensively it helps us fly around. So he really took advantage of that spacing.
Yep. All right. Let's take one more quick second here. When we come back, I want to talk Vogel. I want to talk LeBron and AD. LeBron. Freudian slip there.
It's appropriate. Yeah.
Yeah. A couple other stats that I find notable from the Houston side of things that I think kind of screamed about the direction that this game is going to go in. Today's show is brought to you also in part by Built Bar. Right now, we are currently packing up everything in our house, pots, pans, plates, you name it, basically. And Jen, with most stuff that is kind of labeled mine in the house, she'll ask me, hey, should I pack this? Can I pack this? Are you ready for me to pack this? And she showed me the Built Bars, and I was like, babe, if you pack those, I might not eat on a regular basis with how I rely on them. So I would hope that you guys are building that same reliance as well. Head on over to BuiltBar.com where you can check out all the fantastic flavors, like the new ones that are caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, the original ones, raspberry, German chocolate, peanut butter, banana bread, mint brownie, all that goodness. And it's extra good seeing as it is nutritious, healthy, and filling. And it legitimately picks me up and it gets me ready for my day. So again, head on over to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON to save $10 off your next order. Not first, but next order. Every order. Just keep using the promo code and tell your friends about the promo code and you can take full advantage of it. One more time, that is BuiltBar.com. Use promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get $10 off your next order. So we just finished giving Rondo props. I thought the other kind of unsung hero of this one is going to be Frank Vogel. We have talked all year about how important it is for him to be able to make decisions beyond the politics of an NBA locker room and be able to do things that just benefit the Lakers. Danny Green was en route to one of those cardio games where he goes 1 of 5 from the field and 0 of 3 from 3-point range, and Vogel benched him. And Kuzma plays in the fourth quarter, and I thought was tremendous.
His cutting was great, man.
Yeah,
the Lakers are the Rockets are kind of a Rubik's cube of basketball, right? Mm-hmm. In that, like, I don't know how to do a Rubik's cube. Do you know how?
Pete, you're asking me of all people about smart things that like smart people do.
Do smart people do Rubik's cubes?
Is that I don't know. I wouldn't know.
So all right. So here's my tortured analogy. Eric Pink is great at Rubik's cubes, by the way.
And see, I could see that.
So once you know how to do a Rubik's cube, like mm-hmm. Pinkus tries to do it faster and faster, right? Like yeah. He's got to, like, you know, he's going to be able to get it done. It just, so it's similar to the Rockets in that, like, once you figure them out, like what you need to do, they don't, like, if I'm recording a Houston podcast right now, what are the adjustments? Like, this is how they play. Mm-hmm. And so we're able to rotate out to them. Like, what do they go to instead? Like, they went to Westbrook more to power through Caruso and Kuzma and Rondo mm-hmm. and a lot of the guys that we put on him, right? A lot of those guards. And Westbrook was great tonight. That's part of why, also, like, from Houston's standpoint, I'm not feeling that great, is they shot 40% from three again. Mm-hmm. They hadn't lost all year. They went 16-0 when they shot 40% or better from three. They've lost two in a row now
where
they shot 40% from three. Westbrook's jumper was pretty good today, mm-hmm. right? And they still, at the end of that game, like, we were up 10. Mm-hmm. So, like, where do they go from there? It's going to be tough for them.
I'm still kind of shocked at how little Austin Rivers plays. Like, it's wild to me. Now, tonight it kind of makes sense because Westbrook, you know, quote unquote, had it going. But even there, like, he finishes the game a minus 14, worst on the night. You know, I just don't think this is the series for Westbrook. I don't know if there is, you know, very many series for Westbrook, but I definitely don't think this is one of them. Just because, like, if the game is going to be played, if Houston is going to score 102 or even the Lakers are going to score 112, that's not a ton of possessions, and you don't want any of those possessions going to Russ and not Harden, you know? Mm-hmm. And even there, like, while Rivers isn't, you know, leaps and bounds better than Westbrook, but he's going to take up fewer possessions than Westbrook does. So I don't really understand the approach there. And hell, I mean, we started the segment talking about how politics here didn't play a role in Vogel being able to bench Danny Green, but like at some point, like how many stretches are they going to go down where Westbrook is continuing to hurt them before D'Antoni says, all right, man, this is enough. We can't keep doing this to ourselves. And yet he can't do that because Russ is the superstar.
He is. And he was, like, offensively, at least he was good tonight. The Lakers have taken attention off of him to help their defense elsewhere. And mm-hmm. they have really looked to target him on the other end of the floor too. So, but yeah, like you said, there's not like, you're not benching Russell Westbrook, you know?
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
But like, that's kind of exactly what they have to do. the Lakers are, every time Russell Westbrook enters the game, I get excited. I think that's when the Lakers can go on a run. The other thing that I also wanted to talk about. So a couple stats, like you mentioned it already. Westbrook going 13 of 24 from the floor, 2 of 4 from 3-point range, and scores a total of 30 points. And I just don't know how much better he's going to play. James Harden goes 11 of 23 from the field, 4 of 9 from 3-point range, 7 of 7 from the line. He scores 33 points. I mean, he can obviously play better, but on a night that Russ also plays this well, I just don't know that's really going to happen too much. And then, like, this was the least comfortable. Now, I think Tucker hurt his ankle and then kind of banged his leg on another play, so I think that might play a role here. But this was far and away the worst PJ Tucker game. And
no offensive rebounds.
Yep.
Just hit 1-3. Only got 3 shot attempts on the night. Mm-hmm. Remember all those corner threes he'd been killing us with in the first couple of games? He wasn't getting those same shots. And we weren't letting him crash from the weak side to get offensive boards. We cleaned all that up. It was really great to see.
Yeah, I actually really liked that, especially when Tucker was lined up in the corner. I saw that they really focused on having Markieff pay attention to him, not just to take away some of those threes. And there's a lot of scrambling too, but I thought Markieff did the best of everybody not named, you know, LeBron or AD at keeping him off the glass, because he was darting in from the corner and it was killing the Lakers. But, and this is where, you know, we, in this era of analytics and graphs to explain basketball, there is still immense value in the attitude that Rajon Rondo brings to the table, the attitude that Markieff Morris brings to the table, where, no, PJ Tucker, I know you're built like a goddamn freight train, but you are not getting to the rim on this possession. I don't care if it takes me committing a foul. I don't care if it's not me grabbing the rebound. You are just not getting there. And I just think that attitude, like, Markieff being of value here, and then Kuzma playing the way that he did. Like, while you're, if you're Houston, you're looking at the stats and you're saying, yeah, I don't know if we're going to get another game like that from Westbrook, mm-hmm. but can the Lakers get another game like they got from Kuzma? Can he all the big difference he was bringing was that he was cutting.
Like, he was at the basket. He was crashing boards.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, they're weak around the basket. He only took 2 threes and he took 10 shots. So that's, he's, you know, around the basket, that's where he was eating. It was beautiful.
Yeah, and like, can Markieff Morris recreate the game? He didn't go 4 or 5 for 3-point range this one, but was a plus 10 in the box mm-hmm. score, which is
defended, great part of the defense. He's who started the second half for JaVale. Mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. Yeah, and so, like, you're looking at the performances that, you know, the unsung guys put together here, and outside of Rajon's shooting, I think a lot of that is actually sustainable. I think a lot of what the Lakers are doing here, at least against this team, are sustainable, which, you know, if you're looking for reasons to be optimistic, that's exactly what you want to see. Those are the exact kind of attributes that lead to winning basketball that you want to see in a series, is how many things can the team that you're facing, that you're up against, how many things can they actually tweak to get back into the series? The fewer of those, the better. And mm-hmm. if you're the team that's up in that series, how many of the things that have put you up in this series are sustainable and can you replicate moving forward? And in this case, Anthony Davis going 9 of 13 from the floor and LeBron going 13 of 23 from the floor and those guys going 26 and 36 points respectively, I'd say that's fairly sustainable. They're probably going to do that again.
Yep.
And then like we just talked about with those role players, fuck, that wasn't a good Danny Green game. That wasn't even a particularly great KCP game.
Right. But, yeah. Caruso was like, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like the things that made the Lakers successful are, I think, very sustainable and very replicable. And as a result, you know, I can't imagine this is a very, injuries notwithstanding. And also, like, while we're on the topic of injuries, really hope Robert Covington is okay.
Yeah,
that looked brutal.
That was, yeah.
But you know, injuries notwithstanding, I don't see things that, you know, Houston can do to take LA out of their game. I just think if the Lakers lose another one from here on out, it'll be because of things that they didn't do, then it will be Houston did was successful with.
Yeah, I feel like we have solved the Rubik's Cube on that other end. Yeah.
Yep. All right. That's going to do it for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. Again, the Lakers go, it's just so nice like to talk about playoff basketball in general, but then to talk about playoff basketball that the Lakers are winning in, fuck yeah.
Nothing like it. Nothing like it.
The Lakers take a 2-1 lead over Houston, winning 112-102. Like you said a second ago, this is the second consecutive game Houston has shot 40% from three-point range and did not win. That's just, I don't know if there's going to be a more damning or damning. I just said that like Chuck. but I don't know if there's going to be a louder stat than that one from this series. And I can't help but wonder what this means for this whole like micro ball thing. If you can't win with the math on your side, I mean, not very many teams have Anthony Davis, but it does make me feel a little better that like Anthony Davis isn't completely useless as we head towards micro ball across the NBA. Please stay safe out there. I will be back tomorrow with a guest to talk about the off day and take note of the other stuff that's going on around the league. You have Billy Donovan out in OKC. We got to see what happens in Milwaukee with Mike Budenholzer. And, you know, Giannis said all the right things that you typically hear from stars after their team gets eliminated. But I'll believe him sticking around forever when I see it. So plenty of stuff to get you through the following day here as we anticipate a game four that could see the Lakers just take an absolute chokehold, a stranglehold on this series, and hopefully we get to talk about that. Have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's. Stay safe out there, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.